Well, yes, indeed, it is the Dirtbag. Good morning, Glenn Andreessen here beside you now until 11 o'clock. Yeah, take a break from The Who for the Pointer Sisters. It can't be more appropriate than that. We will talk... Yes, it can. We will be talking about home preservation with Harriet and Marge. First of all, let me mention once again about the Metro Tour that is coming up. It's not until July, but registration begins at the end of this month, actually the beginning of next month, June 1st. And if you'd like to see my garden and or 25 others, actually you wouldn't ever be able to see that many in the six-hour period. But registration begins on June 1st, and you do that by calling the Metro Recycling Information Number 503-234-3000 and register for up to two people. Generally, there should be plenty of spots available, but in the past, it has filled up in less than a week, so don't delay if that is something that interests you. And I always get a big kick about meeting dirtbag listeners. So that's that, and we'll get on to business. Harriet, welcome.
Hello. Say,
yes, Marge, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's get those mics right there in front of you. Very good. They have started a brand new business that apparently is already a success, at least for the first season. Tell us about what started, what was the beginning of this business? Marge, you've been in the biz at the Extension Service, is that not correct?
Yes, I retired about 3 years ago, and I'm a home economist by training from the Midwest. And when you work for OSU Extension back in the 80s and the early 90s, food preservation was part of our responsibility. And so I had a lot of experience working with volunteers.
We're gonna just get some more.
Little
adjustment here. And training people who were interested in food preservation and wanted to help spread the knowledge in their communities. And it was called the Master Food Preserver Program. But it doesn't exist anymore except in Lane County and hopefully in Clackamas County. But that's how it started. That's my background in training. And I was trained by OSU food scientists, so I'm lucky to have had that opportunity to really learn the science. And then I get a lot of the art from the people that I work with.
How did you get involved, Harriet?
Well, I just dug up my backyard and started growing food, and I wanted to do some food preservation. And I called up the Extension Service to see if I could take some classes, and they told me, at least in Multnomah County that I called, that they weren't offering it. So Marge and I go back many years.
Uh-huh.
Not that many, but we go back some years, and I called her up, and I said, did she know somebody who could teach me some classes? And she said she'd be happy to teach me, and then I thought, well, I probably could round up a couple of people who might like to take some classes. And so we had our first informal class last year in my house, and a group of women got together, and it was very successful, and we thought, well, this seems to be something that would work. So we considered whether or not we wanted to put together a small space and give it a go. So I pulled Marge out of retirement. And we took a space in Buffalo Gardens and we started Preserve, and the response has been very good.
So dirtbag listeners may be wondering, what the heck are we talking about preserving on a gardening show? Well, it's the end result. We do tend to have years when we overproduce fruit trees particularly. What do you do with it? I thought this would be a perfect time to talk about it and your business, but now I understand that all of your classes, at least at the Buffalo Gardens location, are full.
Those classes are filled, but Marjorie will talk a little bit about this other series that we're doing through the Clackamas Extension.
Well, the Preserve classes are designed for people who just want to come in, take a class, learn the basics, and then go home and do it. The Clackamas...
Well, what do you mean by a class?
Well, it's a series.
Okay.
So they're when you sign up for the Preserve classes, and we had our first series Saturday, you start out with food safety and freezing, and then every month in June we'll have berries and jams, and in July we'll have fruits, and in August we'll have tomatoes, and September we have pickles and chutneys, and October it's food drying. So we're trying to design the class around what's in season at that during that month. In Clackamas County, this is more of a volunteer program where Preserve, Harriet and I will go in and teach the classes, but it's much more in-depth, and because the expectation is that the people who take this class will then volunteer at the farmer's market in Oregon City. And so it's much less expensive, but the payback is in your time.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone is interested in that class, which starts May 18th,
sure,
then they can just call the Extension Service in Clackamas County, 503-655-8631, or go to our website, PortlandPreserves.com.
Preserves or Preserve?
PortlandPreserve.com.
One.
That's very important.
No
S.
Singular.
And there's information there about the class, and it will link right to the Clackamas County Extension Office. But that's an opportunity, but it's, you know, we're happy that our Preserve classes are full and hope that the volunteer program in Clackamas County will be a go-to if they get enough people interested.
So these people who sign up for these series of classes meet once a month?
Correct.
For
six months.
6 months.
So it's a six-class series.
Yeah, and I think it's a 2.5-hour class, and we take a little break and eat something that's we've canned or put up, so hopefully gives everybody a lot of knowledge by the end of the class and comfort level. I mean, this is kind of funny because everybody sort of talks about how Christmas time they invariably get like a jar of jam or something that somebody uh-huh. put up for as a gift, and they put it in the back of their cupboards because, of course, we're not quite sure. We haven't been raised with canning food, and no one's comfortable with it. And so we found it to be a really important thing because it's an art that's coming back. I mean, not only for those people who are home gardeners, but we invariably find the farmers markets just wanting somebody mm-hmm. to table and talk about food preservation, because that's the perfect thing. I mean, to be able to know your ingredient, to pick exactly what it is you want to can or pickle or preserve in one way or another, and to be able to take advantage of the seasons, be able to take advantage mm-hmm. of the value of buying within season and variety and just all those things. I mean, that's a lost art, and that's kind of what inspired us, is just realizing that there's lots of people that, like I said, mm-hmm. if not a home gardener, is going to the farmer's market that, you know, and CSAs, of course, with CSAs. I mean, they're always yeah. talking about it. People get a lot during one season. Something's growing. It's a bumper crop.
Yeah.
And it's like, as much as we love beets, how are we going to eat them? You know,
well, if they're red ace, lots.
Okay.
Well, I, as I explained to both of my guests and Dirtbag listeners several years ago, I did a show on this about the results of attempting to have a serving of something, not just eat one cherry or something and call it good, but to have a serving of something that I preserved or grew fresh from the garden every day of the year. And I was successful at that. If there's one thing that gardeners hate, I believe, it's the seeing, you know, fruit rot on the ground and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that it would be a good idea to talk about just some specific things on recommendations on, Tammy says, yeah, on what to do with certain things that are coming into season now, and maybe later on, too, we could talk about, you know, what you might recommend with apples, or, for example, just listing the various ways you might preserve those. But let's do open the phone lines. If you do have a question for the experts here, the preserving experts, let's open those phone lines. 503-231-8187 would be questions for Harriet or Marge.
Well,
so, go ahead.
Well, it's rhubarb time. Yay. Everyone loves rhubarb. I do.
No, I would have to. I'd say that you either love it or you hate it.
Well, you should learn to love it.
Yeah,
that's what we're going to be talking about today, learning to love rhubarb. No, but chutneys. I mean, obviously, that's a great thing.
Well, be more specific when you say chutney. What do you mean by that?
Chutneys are sort of like a pickle of sort. I mean, it's kind of a condiment that you put together. In this case, what I made, it could have, you know, various spices and onions and raisins
vinegar.
And vinegar. Yeah, so that's the point. You know, what makes it something that you can preserve is Well, we could talk about the difference about acid content is important in doing foods, whether or not it's something high acid or low acid, and whether or not you can water bath can it or you have to do it pressure cooking. Mm-hmm. So with chutneys, it has to do with vinegar and putting the acid level up. And every fruit and vegetable has a certain degree of acidity. So that's something we don't have to go into now. But so this is rhubarb time. And so we made rhubarb chutney.
Well, something one question, though. Mm-hmm. What would you use the rhubarb chutney for? Or with?
Well, we were eating it at our class with goat cheese and on like a little bit of bread and goat cheese, a little bit of rhubarb chutney on yum yum.
It's a nice condiment, and it's certainly something you could preserve now and give as a Christmas gift.
Particularly if you didn't like it.
Yeah, true.
Because it looks so cute in the bottles, nobody will know.
So are you're canning this then?
Yes, you can make rhubarb chutney. You can make, and Harriet also made rhubarb jam, and so there's those things. And it freezes very well.
That's
it's one
how
of those
I used
things you can chop it up, throw it in a freezer-type Ziploc bag or some other container, and just throw it in the freezer. And so it's one of those things that it's easy to preserve if you have freezer space.
I frequently make sauce out of it, waiting for the strawberries to come along, and then have a rhubarb. A rhubarb strawberry sauce, which is one of my favorite combinations.
Yeah, and rhubarb pie, yum.
With
strawberry rhubarb for you. So, yeah. And in that's how, and asparagus, I mean, that's another thing that's coming up now.
So,
and
we
did some pickled asparagus, which is, you know, it was just raw packed, which was great. You didn't have the process, but we just put it in a jar and boiled up some vinegar and garlic and hot peppers, and poured it over, and canned it in the water, and there you have it. You know, 2-3 weeks, and yum, as they say in the industry.
Well, Marge, go ahead.
Well, asparagus is great for pickling right now, and you can freeze it. You need to blanch it first, but it's because it's a vegetable and low acid. It's one of the things you do not can unless you have a pressure canner.
Now, explain blanching and why that needs to be done.
Well, blanching is a process that we use in the preservation mostly of vegetables. I mean, we blanch tomatoes, take the skin off before we can them, but we also blanch vegetables because we need to control the enzymes that are natural in vegetables, because even in the freezer, they will continue to be active and cause the foods to ripen or mature. And in the freezer, what that means is a nice green bean that goes in unblanched may become very dark colored, leathery, and nasty after 6 months.
You mean nasty like inedible or
well,
not poisonous?
It'll be safe, but it may not taste very good.
So how do you blanch?
So blanching technique's fairly simple. A big gallon of water boiling on the stove, 1 pound of vegetable. You plunge it in there for 2-3 minutes, depending on directions. And we have, you know, there's lots of publications with blanching directions. And then you quickly chill it. Dry it off, and then you pack it. So what the boiling water does is just inactivate those enzymes.
And that's mostly with vegetables?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
A lot of this information also you can go up on our website, again, www.portlandpreserve.com. And Marjorie does a great job of having sites that you can visit that give you lots of information about home food preservation as well. Although it's, you know, it's great to see somebody do it because that's really the hands-on piece of it.
Sure.
It makes everyone comfortable. But we do have lots of information available on site, too.
Yes, my mantra for gardening is that good example has twice the value as good advice.
It's true. And that's the reality is not too many. Most of the people that come in the class, they say they have memories of their grandmothers preserving.
Really?
And the nostalgia of that, too, for them, of participating with, but it seemed to skip a generation, so they're wanting to learn that again. And the other thing I want to say is also about knowing your ingredient. Like I found when I went to Farmer's Market, I bought some Crimson Red specifically. No, it was Crimson King rhubarb. And the man at the market told me that was from a plant that had been 100 years old and had he thought perhaps come from someplace in the Midwest. But there was something romantic about having a sense of lineage or history on what I was eating that was another for those people who tend to be poetic about things. I mean, there was something really wonderful about that, too. Of course, if you're growing it or where you got your plant from and then knowing, you know, that so that adds something. And, of course, you know, the other part about embodied energy and buying something, making something that you just walk into your backyard, you pick it up, you harvest it, you take it to your can short time between the time, you know, that affects quality. But and use it in can it in a can that supposedly you've been able to use a couple of times because it's, you know, still fine to do that. Each time you do that, you lower the fossil fuel usage or embodied energy of anything. So that's, of course, a great motivating factor to learn how to preserve and to garden.
I think that it gives us much more pleasure to eat something not only from the chef who's had a relationship with the food, but the grower who's had a relationship with the food.
Absolutely.
And this, when you get it from farmers' markets, the farmers generally do have that relationship and history, apparently, if it's a 100-year-old rhubarb plant.
I wanted to go visit that plant. I didn't go out yet. But.
Okay, so this is May. Do you preserve lettuce in any way?
No.
Okay.
You're being hopeful now.
I've got lots of lettuce going now, right? Or spinach, I suppose, too. Is
freeze it, blanch it, and do spinach, or I would imagine you could do and cream spinach if you wanted to do it, and then freeze it.
Okay.
That would be great.
I was just thinking through the year when we're what we're hitting next that we would have lots of possibly.
So we're all just, you know, patiently waiting for this. Berries. Come on.
Okay, so let's talk about strawberries. Here we are in, you know, strawberry heaven, if for most varieties anyway. All right, if they're hoods. No, they have some other good varieties now, too. Go ahead.
Glenn, I'm glad to hear you say hood because that's, you know, that's still my favorite, although there are other varieties. And, you know, and I came out here in, let's say, 79 from the Midwest and met my first Oregon strawberry. I mean, I wanted whipped cream in the field as I was out there picking them and eating them, and they are marvelous. And but strawberries are, you know, most people freeze them, and that's still an excellent way, and I always, you know, encourage people to make sure they have good packaging. No sense, you know, buying a flat of strawberries and then not handling them properly, and then you end up with a product that's not as good as it should be.
How do you recommend freezing them?
Well, the easiest way is to just put them on a tray or a cookie sheet, and we call it tray freezing. Just put them in your freezer, let them become hard little nuggets, and then they're easy to package in, whether it's a Ziploc-type freezer bag or a hard container, and then remove as much air as possible. We demonstrate the old sucking technique with a straw, which really works quite effectively.
Marjorie's good at that.
Yeah. I say it's good for your lungs. And then, of course, vacuum sealers, those electric little machines are very popular. And, you know, those are something I always encourage, you know, neighbors to buy one and share it because it's one of those things you don't use that often.
Good idea.
But that the packaging and the method of getting the air out, it really works. And then you can reuse the bags also.
What's the idea of getting all the air out?
It's the air in the moisture in the air that is in the freezer. It just stays there and it forms frost on the fruit. And then, especially if your freezer fluctuates in temperature, the moisture is going from the fruit to the packaging and then back again, and you end up with this package that's all frost and unsavory fruit.
Okay.
So the more you can control the environment, the better the product.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other way is to, I find that if you have a lot of berries and you want to use them for like shortcakes or something and just over ice cream or something in the winter, then go ahead and slice them or crush them and add some sugar. Let the sugar, just like you would for a fresh shortcake right now, and then freeze it that way because sugar has a way of protecting the flavor of fruits in the freezer, and the quality will really be superior if you add a little bit of sugar.
And it seems like it retains the color better.
Yes, it does.
Too that way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so of course there's jam. Let's not overlook one way to preserve strawberries.
All kinds, and that's what we're doing in June in preserve. And there's so many pectins on the market, and also small batch fruit jam that I've kind of put together a recipe for, and I owe Cooks Illustrated for that recipe. But it's just lemon juice, sugar, and fruit, and it makes just one or two jars, which for a lot of people is just right as strawberries come on, especially in your garden.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very easy method. And then
without pectin, let me get
without
this straight.
Pectin,
and you're
right.
You're cooking it on a skillet or
in a wide skillet, and it cooks down really quickly, and so it doesn't get overcooked, and you don't have to add pectin or an excess amount of sugar. I mean, I like sugar in my jam, but I don't like it when it's too sweet. So, and most people, I think, are there. And then there's the freezer or uncooked jams. But I just always like to remind people that be sure and buy, if you're buying pectin to make jam, be sure and read the directions and follow the directions. You know,
I've put things in out of order once, and I still used it, but it wasn't as good. I think I put the sugar in before the pectin.
Yeah, well, that's what's unique is that, you know, MCP or SureGel, they all have slightly different directions. Yeah. And if you don't follow their directions, then you end up with syrup, which, you know, you can use, or sometimes a gel that's kind of way too thick. But interestingly, I just got back from Turkey, and every morning they'd have big bowls of really soft, syrupy type jam. And I thought, well, this is interesting. Obviously, they don't make peanut butter jelly sandwiches. But what I found, watch people around the breakfast, and they'd put it in a little bowl, and then they dip their bread in it. I thought, now there's a good idea.
Yeah, you probably
no pectin needed.
You can get more on that way too. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm sort of interested now because there are certain fruits that have a pectin in it, the higher levels of pectin, so that you can, you know, and I'm going to work on this summer. But you can, if you have currants in your backyard and you put a few currants into a batch of, let's say, blueberry jam, I mean, it will set up much better and possibly add that pectin. And so you don't necessarily have to use pectin that you buy in a box. And apples evidently have a lot of pectin. So there's a lot of information out there about that. But I kind of like that idea, too, of just using.
Indeed.
That's the art part.
That's the art part.
It's the artistic way of not being sure what your end product will be. And if it isn't just, you know, what is a classic jam? I mean, everybody interprets that differently. So.
Good point.
And the main thing is to. I think enjoy whatever you get and don't worry about whether it's going to win a blue ribbon at the fair.
Okay, let's talk about some tree fruits here. Apples, maybe. People tend to have lots of apples.
Yeah, apple butter. Well, that's the thing, too, is speaking about apples, I mean, I don't know when. I mean, how long does it take to get a big apple tree? Somewhere along the line, everybody was planting apple trees. I mean, you see apples and pears and plums all over throughout the city. And that kind of was what started it for me, actually, is that I was sitting in my backyard and watching these pears drop to the ground and going, that just doesn't seem right. You know, as I'm thinking about complex issues around economic systems, I'm letting my pears rot, and there just seemed to be a disconnect, and that was like the beginning of what started it. And so there are lots of these fruit trees, and I mentioned there's organization Portland Harvest that's starting to work that you could actually find out about them, www.portlandharvest.com. They'll actually come to your home and help you harvest your crop for all those people with big fruit trees in their backyard that they don't harvest and watch the fruit flies come. but those things are great because if it's slightly blemished fruit and if, you know, hopefully you're not spraying them, then you can take them, you can slice it, you can dry apples. Is really nice, a little bit harder in the Northwest because, as you know, it rains a bit here. But you can do that, or else in a dehydrator, or you can do apple butter, which I think is great, you know, a great way to reduce a big quantity of apples into apple butter. So that's a great thing. Apple sauce. And, again, apples have a high pectin content, so they're something that can be used in, you know, for making jams and jellies to thicken. But so that's
a little time intensive to get the, you know, use them for that. But
right.
And I think applesauce is probably one of the easiest things to do, especially if you have a freezer. I mean, you can can it, and it cans beautifully. But, you know, you can cook up apples, you know, people, you know, with the skins, you know, cut away the bad parts, wash them, do them with the skins, and then put them through a food mill. Or, you know, I tend to peel mine first. Because I like chunky applesauce.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I think, and then you can mix applesauce, you can add no sugar, some sugar, I mean, you can dye them pink for Christmas if you want, or Valentine's Day. I mean, there's all, not dye them, but, you know,
yeah.
Red dye number four.
Red hot. Red hot.
Red hot.
That's it.
We're
cinnamon
older women.
Yes.
Red hot.
You know, people used to, I was talking about how, you know, I remember from the Midwest, or if you were raised in the 50s, then you probably had pears that were green and pink and seasonal. You know,
sure.
People always got creative with their pears because they were, you know, it was easy to do and fun. Spiced apple rings and, but there's lots of things to do with apples. Fruit leather.
Oh yeah, that's a great one.
But so you know, and plums. You know, I have one fruit tree in my yard, and it's a Santa Rosa plum because my husband likes plums. Only Santa Rosa plums. And it makes the best jam. So people just need to, you know, experiment more.
Well, I think that kind of hits on the one of the – there are several different reasons to preserve. One, that it's entertaining. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be – fun, not me.
Yeah, if you have
after
nothing
a while.
Else to do.
Right.
No, especially if you do it, you know, try not to do it all by yourself.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing to do with friends and family.
But the things just taste better than anything you can buy, I think. I mean, that's one of the main reasons that I preserve what I do.
And stewardship and really... And doing things along season, I mean, it's incredible, too, when you follow the trail of the seasons. I think that it just expands your understanding of the world around you, too. And having things that, you know, to be able to eat things that grow in your region, I think in all ways, you know, for economic reasons, for environmental reasons,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it just is good to support that system and to, you know, eat those dyed eat those pear rings or apple rings instead of pineapples. Sorry, pineapples. I don't mean to have anything against you, but, you know, really try to eat locally, and this just helps support that effort and support local farmers, and we know that we have to do that.
Preserving just really extends the gardening season. You know, we as gardeners, we attempt to do all sorts of things to grow earlier, grow later, from cloches and enclosures to warming the soil and et cetera. But preserving is just an extension of that.
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about cold storages. My God, with so much more.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, we're out of time.
Okay.
We did have one question, or at least a comment, from a listener about a caller about alternative pectins. She mentions, or he or she, I don't know, Pomona pectin.
Yes, that's one that we use in our class to show the versatility of a pectin, where you can reduce the sugar, and it's a very good product.
It says here it needs no sugar, but can you, with this particular type of pectin, can you decide how much sugar to put in and it still sets up?
Yes, it will set up. And I just, you know, I like to encourage people that when they're trying to reduce the sugar too much, then they're not going to have a traditional gel. It'll be a slightly different texture. Sugar is unique in its ability to make that classic jam. But yes, I like Pomona pectin. So you have to, you know, pay attention to
the
directions.
Right. So that's one of those you dip your bread in.
No, it'll set up. But we do teach that in our class. When we do our class on jams and jellies, we show you all the various different pectins and how they set up and their different flavors. So we do cover all that.
Well, it's too bad that their classes are full, because you thought about adding more classes, or you maxed out?
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about adding some one-time classes, and that we're, you know, just trying to decide on when that would be, and so you can find out information on that on the website, and you can just ask to be on our mailing list. So
PortlandPreserve.com,
right?
Harriet Fassenfest and Marge Breaker, both of Portland Preserve. It's been great to have you here. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
That's it for the Dirtbag this month. We'll be back in, well, this time it's 5 weeks, the first Monday at 10:30. We'll see you then. Thanks, Tammy. Thanks for listening. Be well.
And the final hour of the Radio Zine is coming up with Democracy Now! You're tuned to KBOO Portland. The preceding KBOO program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from One Green World, a nursery located near Molalla, Oregon, offering hard-to-find plants designed to help you grow your own fruit and decorate your yard, deck, or patio. For a color catalog, the number is 503-651-3005, and the email address is catalog@onegreenworld.com. And a reminder that on Wednesday morning's talk radio show, beginning at 7:30 a.m. on Wednesday, hear a forum of candidates for Portland City Council, Position 3. That's Dan Saltzman's seat on Wednesday morning's radio talk radio show, 7:30 a.m. And tonight, Monday night at 6 o'clock, stay tuned for Labor Radio, a weekly program about working people and the labor movement. On tonight's show, host Ken Allen looks at the Medicare prescription drug benefit. The sign-up deadline is next Monday. Seniors are the supposed beneficiaries of the new Medicare prescription drug benefit, but the closer you look, the more it seems like it was set up to benefit drug and insurance companies. Also, a discussion of how America's free trade agreements contribute to illegal immigration. That's all at 6 o'clock tonight on KABU's Labor Radio. For now, stay tuned for Democracy Now! After this message.